I am very thankful for the opportunity to be here in this meeting because I believe it has been a special time for me because we're living in critical times, and I believe the Lord has come along to me to warn me about things that can cause me to miss heaven with conditions in the world around us. Folks, you know, we say we live in some difficult times. It's not new. I think about when Jesus was here. What were the political conditions when he was here? You know, the Jews were slaves. Wouldn't call that favorable conditions. But you know what Jesus spent his time doing? He didn't come to do something about the Roman government. He came to bring a peace while we're in the middle of whatever trouble can come our way. And I am very thankful. I don't think the timing of this meeting could have been, it was like it was ordered of the Lord for me. Because you know, we start on a Wednesday night, everything's supposed to be all settled and we know everything about the future for the government. And we don't know the future for the government. But you know what? The Lord comes along and just real calmly tells us, keep your attitude right, and you can make heaven your home through it all. We started this meeting with searching through the Bible because, you know what, there's not much we can do to change things in the government, but there is something we can do about our attitude about it. So we started out with finding the scriptures where God's word instructs me how to handle my attitude. You know, we even heard in Sunday school this morning, there's nothing new happening today. 50 years ago was when laws were passed that prayer would be taken out of schools. That's a long time ago. And you know, the end of the world didn't come then. It hasn't come now. But what we've got to do is through this time or whatever time is out ahead to keep our focus. That's what the devil would love, is for us to lose focus. Folks, our focus is, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger here. I'm headed for another country. And I'm going to, by God's help, for me to make it to that other country, I'm going to have to abide by the laws that he gives me. And you know, the laws of that other country extend to this one too. And it tells me to have a respect for those that are in authority. Daniel, did he live in favorable conditions for a government? No, he was a slave. You know, laws were passed, especially the one that said don't pray to anybody else but the king. Laws were passed that Daniel would not have agreed with. But I think we can find the solution with Daniel. It was told that Daniel had an excellent spirit. And I think I just found out why. He prayed 3 times a day. Folks, we can keep an excellent spirit, yes, if we will spend more time praying and maybe a little less time on the news. So, if we want to have a good attitude, do we go to Amazon? Find us a book, The Power of Positive Thinking. You know what? We've got that book right here. In the middle of it, don't matter how bad it gets, there's positive thinking right here. Because the Lord will go with us through those times. And I am so thankful for it. So I am glad for the opportunity for us to have been together these past days. Because I have felt a change in my own spirit. Because when I came, news can cause you to get stirred and forget that, hey, wait a minute, I'm a pilgrim. I confess that I'm a pilgrim, that I'm just here for a little bit of time, and then I'm headed for another country if I will be faithful to the Lord. So, I want to share some things with you. I'd like to start over in Philippians in the fourth chapter. The book in this, the Bible, is the book of positive thinking. This says in Philippians 4 and 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. You know what the world won't be able to understand if you can have peace in the kind of times we're going through right now. It says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A promise for us. The other day we were looking for promises in the Bible. This is one of them right here. If I'll do my part, he'll do his part. And then it goes on in the next verse, because our thinking is what can get us in trouble. So this next verse, the fourth chapter and the eighth verse, gives us some things to be thinking about. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Then I'd like to move back one chapter, Philippians 3 and 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I've got a goal that I'm reaching for. It's going to end me up in heaven if I'll be faithful. Haven't gotten there yet, and it's a high calling. It says there's going to be a highway there and a way. There'll be no unclean thing on that way. It's a highway. And this one says it's also a high calling. It's a high calling to be able to live for Christ when there's adversity around. And when others around us may say there's no hope. And we remember the verse that says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Folks, that's where our hope is. We don't have our hope in an economy, in the government. Our hope is in God, because I'm a citizen from another country. So the subject that I want to talk about today, we've got to have this one. It's very important. I won't make it without it. And it's available freely to every one of us. It's grace. We sing a song, number 510, Amazing Grace. Says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It was grace that brought me safe thus far, and it's going to be grace that takes me home. Grace that Jesus Christ brought, that no matter what adversity I go through, I can make heaven my home. There was a story that was given. A prophet had something that he needed to tell King Ahab. And in 1 Kings, the 20th chapter, he disguised himself. And when the king came by, this was the story that he told the king. He said, I was in the midst of a battle, and someone turned aside with a prisoner and handed him into my charge. And he said, keep this man. There's a penalty if you don't. You will trade your life for his if I come back and he's gone. And it said, or an exchange of money. But I think about how serious would I be about hanging on to a prisoner if I knew if he goes, I'm going to give my life for it. There is a verse that says, my soul is continually in my hands. Keep this man. If you let him get away, he'll spend eternity lost. There are scriptures that set a high mark to be a Christian. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. Being very careful, even in our conduct, that is stamped with holiness. So, how do I go through this life then? I see the charge. Keep this man. Dan, if you don't, he'll spend eternity lost. So do I live in fear every day oh, I'm afraid I'll be lost. I'm afraid today I just won't reach the mark and I'll miss it. Folks, that'd be a dismal way to live. But instead, grace is available to us. And I think of the definition of grace. I've heard it before, that it was the unmerited favor of God. But you know, really, what did I merit anyhow? The breath I breathe was a gift from Him. So I was thinking of another definition, divine power that's available. It's on tap from God, if I will be willing to tap into it. It's one of those things, again, I hold the key for it. I can stir in my mind all the troubles that are around me, or I can tap into grace that is available for any problem any of us will face. This morning in Sunday school, first chapter of John was read. I'd like to go back there for just a little bit. John 1 and 17. The law was given by Moses. You know, those folks had 10 commandments. You do this or you die. But it says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. 16th verse said, of His fullness have all we received, grace for grace. There is grace, divine power from God, and it is not limited because we're living in 2020. It's not limited because of who became president or who's making laws in our country. There's grace available for us. What if on the day I got saved, the Lord says, okay, here's your Bible. I'll meet you at the judgment. Folks, I'm so glad it's more than that. Part of grace is for Him to show me when I'm short of it and to show me, oh, it's available. I've got it for you. Divine power for anything that we happen to face. I'd like to look at a verse over in Ephesians. Ephesians 2 and 7. Because through all this, I think what's real important for us to know is Jesus said it Himself, without me, you can do nothing. This is not something about I'll get me a book to read of how to have a better attitude. This is about going to Jesus, because you know what? Every way of a man's right in his own eyes. I can think my attitude is just fine anyhow. But I go to the Lord and I say, search me, Lord. Is there anything about me that is not pleasing to You? And when He shows it, I've got the opportunity to say, Lord, I'm going to need some grace for this. I'm going to need some of this divine power. And you know what happens? He is so pleased for us to go to Him with that. Because what do I do when I have mastered that problem? Do I say, I tell you what, I just toughened up, took care of it? No, I go back and I say, thank You, Lord, for helping me with the grace that I needed for that one. And now when another one comes, I know that You'll help me through that one too. Because folks, you know what? Our biggest enemy is not who's in the president's office. It's going to be what I do with the choices that I make in my life about the things that are happening all around me. Amazing grace that in 2020, it still works the same as it always has. If I will tap into it. In the second chapter and in the seventh verse, Ephesians 2 and 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. Now look at that. He's just got an untold amount of it. It's available. The riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift. So today, if we would look at, you know what, it's not something that I have to really achieve on my own. It's a gift that He'd like to give me if I would just accept it. It's a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works that I can say, you know what, these troubles come up to me in life and I've got the willpower to be able to stop them. No. It's not of works, lest any boast. It's for me recognizing He's the one that supplied the grace that I needed. There is a verse in Titus 2 and 11. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then look at that next verse. This is that stranger and pilgrim. After I've done these things, I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So this verse tells me there's some things that I'm going to have to deny if I want to please the Lord. But he started out with, it's the grace of God that brings salvation. So I can go back to him for that grace to be able to help me to be able to do these things and make heaven my home in the end. I was thinking about the children of Israel. That is hard to imagine of taking somewhere over 1 million people and you don't have enough groceries for them for tomorrow, but they call on God. And God supplies manna and the instructions for how they will do it. You know, it's hard for us to think about that because we have so many options for eating. If I don't like Mexican, I can have Chinese. I can eat anything I want. And they were not given a choice. God supplied it. Manna. Manna today, tomorrow, 30 years from now. But it supplied what they needed. And then he gave them instruction. Because you know what? They were needing it when he sent it. So he said, I tell you what, I'm going to give you what you need for this day. You get what you need for this day. Don't try to get it extra for tomorrow. If you do, you will wish you hadn't, because it's going to rot. Some of them tried it, and it did just what God had told them it would do. And then it comes on down, because God was also interested in them keeping the Sabbath day. He said the day before, now is your time to get it for 2 days, because there'll be none on the Sabbath day. And the instruction that he gave them, the detail that he gave them, as I'm thinking about grace today, the day I got saved, he didn't pour in everything I will ever need to the last day of my life. You know, grace comes as we need more grace. I was looking at a verse. You know, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, is a pretty serious chapter telling about the end of time. But there is a verse in there that I guess I really hadn't noticed. Tapped on to the very end of it. But grow in grace. And then the knowledge, this is in the 18th verse of 2 Peter 3. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Growing in grace. He is able to supply for me the grace I need for today. You know what? I don't need the grace that the martyrs had on the day they died, because I'm not there. God will not pour out to me grace for tomorrow until I get to tomorrow. And you know what? He won't do it then if I feel like I can make it on my own. You know what? Humility is so important for us. Not just my voice saying I'm humble, but for God to recognize that I recognize, Lord, I can't even walk if you don't hold my hand. I can have all these dreams about heaven, and I'm never going to make it there if I don't humble myself before him and let him show me the way to go. But I look at all this, grow in grace. The Lord promising me, Dan, if you want it, there'll be grace for whatever you hear about tomorrow. Whatever happens in our world today. You know, we have loved being in America where we have so many freedoms. We can move about. We hear about troubles in other countries, and we are so glad to be in America. But you know what? God had grace for those folks in other countries too. The grace that they needed for the day that they needed it. So we won't get a month's supply, but every day we can go back for another supply. There are songs, and to me, songs are so valuable if they can be supported by Scripture. Because the Lord can bring songs to your mind. You can be traveling down the road. He can do the same with Scripture. But I think songs are very important. You know, the world recognizes the value of songs. You want to pump a message into somebody, put it in a song and send it out. Well, the Lord recognized it too. So he sends it in these songs. Someone had a testimony of grace that was given to them, and they penned it in a song for us to be able to recognize. Here's some of them. Song number 58, All His Grace. How expensive is it? It's just as free as the air we breathe. We may each have a full supply. If we will obey and His word believe. See, here it is. I've got the key to it. I can go around saying there is no grace for 2020 because I didn't turn the key and tap into it. It's as free as the air we breathe. We may each have a full supply. If we will obey and His word believe, He will prepare us. For whoever's the next president? No. He'll prepare us to dwell on high. Something that stretches way on out farther. You know, Jesus recognized when He was here, just freeing the Jews from Roman rule would not be enough. You take a few years and somebody else is going to take over. But you know what? You free the person. And I thought about how when He talked to people that were slaves at that time, He didn't say, I tell you what, before I leave out of here, I'm going to break the rule of all your masters and you're going to be a free people. You know, He would tell them, if you got a master, you give them good service. Because it's from the heart that we're doing it. Here's another song. What a friend we have in Jesus. Here's our opportunity to tap into the source of grace. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. You know how we miss that sometimes? Because I churn it in my head and I think about how I think it ought to go. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. And we could be doing it this week. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And you know what's happening whenever I do this and I take everything to God in prayer? He's the source of the grace that I need to be able to have victory through that trouble. Got a verse over in Hebrews. Because there is no lack of the grace that is needed. Over in Hebrews 4 and 16, let us therefore come boldly. You know, we don't have to say, well, I don't know if He would provide the grace that I need for that. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. How can we do it? Because He's already given us the promise. I came to give you grace for any trouble. Come boldly to the throne of grace so we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I am so thankful that grace is available. There's another song. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself, my God and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. He's got the grace that we need. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Today, it seems like grace is really needed. Sin is abounding. But we got a verse for that one too. Romans 5 and 20 says it's able to multiply and stay ahead of it. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. So you know, about the time we say, this is the worst it's ever been, sin is on every hand, look out. That means there's going to be a whole lot of grace available for folks. Where sin abounds, grace is much more abounds. But always remember, if I'm troubled in my spirit, it's because I didn't put the key in that opens it up to tap into that grace that He has available for us. In closing, There are things that can stop that flow of grace. I'd like to look over in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. A lot of times we read the last part of this verse and I don't really focus on the first part. 12 and 15, but let's focus on the first part this time. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. It's not saying there, lest there's not enough grace for you when you need it. No, the warning is, need to be real careful that I don't fail of the grace of God that is supplied for me. And then it tells me the thing that can cause me to fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, there are things that can happen in our life. It can be just what someone else has done to me, and I harbor that, and I hold it, and I don't forgive. You know what I did? I just stopped the flow of grace that would have covered that problem. That we not fail of the grace of God. Always remember, there'll be plenty of grace. If I don't have enough of it, I need to do some searching. There is one other one in Galatians 2 and 21. It says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You know, Jesus had a plan when he was going to supply grace to me. You know, I can frustrate the plan of grace in my life, of what it should be able to do for me, and the world be able, you know, right now is a prime time for the Christian to show peace that the world cannot give. Jesus said, I got it for you. You know what? That's grace. That he's got a peace that I can have in the middle of the storm, and I want to tap into it. I don't want to frustrate the grace of God. I want it to be able to, in these days out ahead, in the years out ahead, and let's don't feel like we're in some special, serious time. God has taken people through many times in the past where sin, always remember this, where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. There's a song I'd like for us to look at in closing. It's number 45. In fact, maybe let's just sing it. The grace of God, wondrous grace, pure gift from heaven, grace that can set the captive free. The grace of God so kindly given by the Savior unto me and to you. The grace of God that brings salvation and teaches righteousness appeareth unto every nation, their darkened souls to bless. Wondrous grace, your gift from heaven, grace to set the captives free, grace of God so kindly given by the Savior unto me. His wondrous grace is all sufficient, and hours of deepest need are sanctified by God omniscient. If we his promise plead, wondrous grace, pure gift from heaven, grace to set the captives free, grace of God so kindly given by the Savior unto me. Within the heart his grace abounding will give us power to reign through Jesus when the foe surrounding, the victory we shall gain. Wondrous grace, your gift from heaven, grace to set the captives free, grace of God so kindly given by the Savior unto me. Our Father, grace and glory giveth in blessings manifold from him who pure before him liveth. No good will he withhold. Wondrous grace, your gift from heaven, grace to set the captives free, grace of God so kindly given by the Savior unto me. Does grace always take us out of our problem? Remember when Paul was praying to the Lord, I got a problem, I got a thorn in the flesh, and I'd like for it to be gone. And he prayed three times, and he got his answer. My grace is sufficient for you. To carry this problem, whatever it was, the rest of your life, I've got grace sufficient for you. Grace is not about taking us out of the problem, but giving us the fuel to be able to go through it as long as the Lord desires for us to go through it. I am thankful for grace. I am so glad he didn't say, okay, you got saved, I forgave you of your sins, I'll see you at the judgment. No, what he said was, I'll give you grace if you'll come to me and tell me when you're needing it. God help us all.